Well, hello, Hailsham Parish Church. Welcome back to our series in John's Gospel. We're looking at a very wonderful passage, but perhaps only understood superficially passage. So do get a hold of John's Gospel in front of you, John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. I'm going to begin by reading it. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's pray. Loving Father, there is so much truth about Jesus in these verses. Please open our hearts to understand what you are saying, that we may be changed and to know Jesus better. Amen. What difference does following Jesus make to my life now? I wonder if you've ever asked that question. I know it was asked to me a number of years ago when leading a Bible study with some teenagers. What difference does following Jesus make to my life now? Or do we get nothing until we go to heaven? Well, have a listen to these words that Jesus said from another part of John's Gospel. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and has and will not be judged, but has passed over from death to life. It's the amazing reality that life, eternal life, starts when someone believes in Jesus. And this part of John's Gospel that we're looking at the moment, sometimes called the Farewell Discourse, has much to show us about life. This week we're seeing that Jesus is the true vine who has brought us close. He is the true vine who has brought us close. And we're going to see the difference that it makes to be in Jesus, the true vine. And it's also that we will remain in Christ. We will remain in Christ. That's the purpose. So our first heading, remain in the true vine. Remain in the true vine. Jesus begins with this amazing claim about himself. Have a look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, Jesus' hearers would have known what this vine is a picture of. In the Old Testament, vine speaks of God's people, the Israelites. And in particular, it talks about how they fail. So the picture of a vine and a vineyard is often a picture of how Israel failed in God's purpose for them and didn't bear fruit. So have a listen to Jeremiah 2:21. I had planted you like a choice vine, of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? So what Jesus is saying here is that he is the true and fruitful vine. I am the true vine. And verse 2 shows us how it all works. God the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You see the stark contrast? You're either in the vine and bearing fruit, or you're out. There is one true religion, Jesus is saying. One true religion that means that you can bear fruit and be close to Jesus and close to God. It's absolutely a striking claim, isn't it? Sometimes we think that Jesus was the nice guy who basically just taught that it doesn't matter what you believe, just be nice. And Paul was the one who said that you must believe in Christ. Actually, Jesus made massive claims about himself. I am the true vine. It's very binary, isn't it? It's either this, you're either in Jesus or you're out. Not everyone is going to heaven. And one person who really understood this was C.S. Lewis. He said these famous words. A man who was really merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic at the level with the man who says that he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Remain in the true vine. Have a look at how we need to respond. Have a look at verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burn. So you're in or you're out. Which one are you? Jesus said. There's just two types of people ultimately in the world. Those who are in Jesus and those who are out. And Jesus' call is to remain in the true vine. Don't move on. The way into the Christian life, it's the same as the way on in the Christian life. And it's all about remaining in the true vine. That is true spirituality. Sadly, much that passes for spirituality in our world, and even in the church sometimes, isn't actually spiritual in the true sense. Because it's not about remaining in Christ. It's about other things. And sometimes we ourselves can fall into this trap because we measure our spirituality and the spirituality of things going around us, maybe our churches, with the wrong measure. You know, we don't measure them by whether it's about remaining in the true vine. But instead, we measure things by, well, was the worship good? Was the ceremony good? What about the building? Was it reflective enough? The disciplines, about how we feel, and not whether our spirituality is about remaining in Jesus. When we were meeting as a church last autumn, much felt different, didn't it? We had our masks and we weren't singing out loud and the chairs were spaced apart. But actually, the most important thing hadn't changed. We heard about Christ so that we would live for Christ. It was all about remaining in Christ. And it may be that over these months, we rediscover what is truly central in our own spirituality and in the life of us as a church family. Remaining in Christ, the vine. That is the spirituality that brings us close to God. That is the spirituality that has brought us close to God. Remain in the true vine. That's the command that just keeps coming up. Remain in me. It's just peppered with this language of remaining in Jesus. Now, I only noticed this after rereading a few times. How is it possible that Jesus is saying to his disciples, you must remain in me, when Jesus is about to go? How can you remain in someone when they're going? Remain with me. It's the same language as when the followers of Jesus, his disciples, in John chapter 1, they stay at his home. So how is that possible if Jesus has just said in chapter 14 that he's going? Well, chapter 14 helps us. Jesus is returning to his Father. But it's a good thing that he'll die and rise again, and because that means that he is going to send his Spirit to be God at home with them. And so our passage is taking things one step further and showing us that the amazing reality that followers of Jesus are in the true vine. We're the branches. He's the vine. You can't get any closer than that. Here's a little challenge. Three followers of Jesus, which one of them is close to Jesus? Is it the one washing the dishes? Is it the one praying in the church building? Or is it the one who is asleep? You probably realised it's a trick question. All followers of Jesus are close to Jesus because Jesus has brought us close. Remain in the true vine. There's no second blessing to be had, no higher life, no special spiritual buildings. Just remain in Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, we may say, that sounds really good, but I don't feel very close to Jesus right now. It just seems very dry. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself that. But the amazing thing is that Jesus says that we are close to Jesus. That's the reality. The tough days, the good days, whether we feel it or not, Jesus says that's the reality. And it won't change. Close to Jesus. So we're beginning to see the difference that Jesus makes to his followers now. The amazing reality that we're close to Jesus. Remain in the true vine. Let's continue to see the great blessings of being in Jesus. We've seen how we are to remain in the true vine. Now we see we are to remain in his blessings. Remain in his blessings. And normally this time of year would be the Oscar season. And a number of films would be coming out over the winter months to try and bag those nominations and those wins. And one such film a couple of years ago was called Lady Bird. And it's all about this teenager who's growing up in the city of Sacramento in California. She's called Christine, and she lives on the wrong side of the tracks. Her family are poor, and she just wants to get away from it all. She wants to move to a city with culture, and she wants to study at one of the prestigious universities on the East Coast. And she often falls out with her mother, and she's a real rebel. But at the end of the film, she does manage to make it through, and she makes it to university in New York. And she gets on the plane, and she finds herself walking around all the boulevards and roads, looking around New York. And it's at that point when she gets there that she actually realises how much that she had. And the film ends with Christine calling her mum and leaving a voicemail on the phone, apologising and thanking her mum for everything that she did. Because it was only then she really realised what she had. What our verses are helping us to see the blessings of being in Jesus. Do you realise what you have in Jesus? And it's also that we will remain in Jesus. One blessing is in verse 9. Have a look with me. Verse 9. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Because Jesus is the vine, followers of Jesus have been brought in to the great love between Father and Son. Whatever happens this week, whether we're with family, or we're with friends, or we're on our own, we are in the love of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Love, another one, is fruitfulness. Unlike the Israelites of old, followers of Jesus can be fruitful and can please God. Have a look at verse 5 again. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. We can live differently. We don't have to settle for living the same as the world. We can be fruitful. Well, how about verse 7? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and they will be given you. Followers of Jesus, the blessing is that we can be heard by God the Father. God hears our prayers. Sometimes we read this and we want to be quite quick to caveat it and say, well, you know, we pray according to the will of God, which is true, of course, but we often miss the force of this amazing promise. Ask and it will be given. What a great reason to pray, to know that we are heard. What an amazing difference that makes to our lives, to know that there is someone powerful and loving who hears us and who answers our prayers. Well, how about verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Our followers of Jesus can have the full joy of Jesus. It's not about having a smile all the time and having a sunshine life. No, followers of Jesus do experience persecution, and we'll see that in next week's passage. But followers of Jesus can know a deep joy. A deep joy that is secure in Jesus, in eternal life in Jesus. A joy that holds us no matter what happens in our lives. I find it really striking that in John's Gospel, Jesus' words, we're not to separate Jesus from his benefits. It's all close together. Loved by Jesus. Fruitful for Jesus, heard by God in Jesus, joyful in Jesus. It's all together, being in the vine. Now, I realise there's so much more we could say about these blessings, and maybe that's a good thing to look at in our house groups. Also remembering that Jesus does have more things to say about these things over the following chapters. But what an amazing difference that Jesus makes. What it means to be in the vine. What an encouragement to remain in the vine, to remain in his blessings. We have his blessings, so remain in his blessings. Now, remain in his love. Remain in his love. Every company has its own ethos and flavour, whether it be the responsible and very smart feel of a solicitor's firm, or the upbeat and ambitious goals and hippie-like feel of an environmental charity, or maybe even the techie and problem-solving feel of an engineering firm. Every organisation has its own ethos and feel and flavour. So how about followers of Jesus? What is the distinctive feel of followers of Jesus? Verse 9 to 16 in our reading show us that distinctive ethos and flavour is love. Love. What difference does Jesus make in our lives now? It's the fact that followers of Jesus are in the love of Jesus. And that means that Jesus enables us and calls us to love one another and remain in Jesus' love. Have a look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, So have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Jesus is not calling us to do something that is completely impossible when he calls us to love one another. It's simply a call to remain in his love. Remain in the love that the Father had for the Son, and remain in the love that Jesus has for us. what Jesus, something that Jesus's followers already have. Remain in his love. You don't have to go out and find it. You've already got it. Jesus enables us to love one another. And so the command in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other. Followers of Jesus, I call you to love one another. And it's not an optional extra. Have a look at verse 10. If you obey my commands, and we've seen that the command is to love one another, you will remain in my love. It's not an optional extra. Jesus says, you're either in, remaining in the love of Jesus, loving one another, or you're out. That's the binary way it works. So if I was to ask you, are you loving like Jesus? Your first thought might be to say, oh, well, I try to. I think I do. But for Jesus, the contrast is much more stark than that. People in him, remaining in his love. People out of him, not remaining in his love. Which one are you? We might think at this point, yes, but hasn't the church not always been very loving? Well, the shocking reality is that actually Jesus says that his people who are in the vine do remain in his love. And it brings us to the fact that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. So it's really important that we hear these words and take note of what Jesus is saying. It is so important. Love. Love. That is the mark, the distinction between those who are remaining in Jesus. If you obey my commands, if you love, you will remain in my love. So what does this love mean? Really important. Because the word love often means different things to different people, doesn't it? To some people it means like romantic love. To some people it means just being nice sometimes. To some people it means the sort of family, brotherly love. Well, verse 15 and 16 help clarify what this love involves. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made to you. I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Here's the purpose of Jesus' love, that we might bear fruit. Okay, what does this bearing fruit mean then? We might think that fruit simply means like the fruit of the Spirit. But that would be to read in our framework into the text. So let's hear what Jesus says in John's Gospel. Let's let that be our guide. I used to think for a while that fruit generally meant obedience. But here, in verse 16, it's talking about fruit that will last. It's literally fruit that will remain. It's that word again, remain. Fruit that will remain. It's about new people coming to know Jesus. That's what it means to bear fruit. New people coming to know Jesus. And that is really surprising, because Jesus said earlier that fruit bearing is what true disciples do. Evangelism is not an optional extra in the Christian life. As I was preparing this, I was struggling to fit together how does loving one another and the fact that fruit is about people remaining in Jesus and new people coming to know Jesus and evangelism, how does that fit together? That doesn't seem to work, does it? But actually, Jesus has already spelled out that these things are right together, joined at the hip. How does, by this, the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love has a shape, a purpose, bringing people to know Jesus. How did God love the world? John 3:16. He sent his Son to save us spiritually, to give us life. And that's the amazing thing, that as we love one another, we share in the love of the Father and the Son, and we're drawing people into that love too. Remain in his love. What difference does Jesus make to our lives now, he enables us to live a new pattern of love. Do we look like that? Do we love one another? Think of the way we act towards followers of Jesus on social media. If an unbeliever was watching, would that commend the gospel? Would they say, yes, wow, look at the way these followers of Jesus love one another? Or what about the way that we act towards other followers of Jesus at church? Would an unbeliever visiting see you and think, yes, I want that, what great love? Or would they see us as someone who's self-centered and just generally irritated? Or how about the way that we talk about other followers of Jesus in our homes? Imagine someone tapped and bugged our house, and they could hear all the things that we say in our household. Would they say, oh, these people, they know love. I want something of that. Or how about the way we think about followers of Jesus in our own thought life? Are we quick to assume the worst of followers of Jesus? Oh, Barry forgot to come round the other day. Oh, he must have been lazy. Or do we think, are we concerned for other followers of Jesus instead of always assuming the worst? Oh, Barry didn't turn up today. I wonder if he's all right. I'll give him a ring. Remain in his love. So as we close now, we've asked, what's the difference? What difference does being a follower of Jesus make to our lives now? And there's lots here, but we've seen that Jesus is the true vine. We're close to God in him. And we have great blessings, and we have a pattern in love, of love that we're called into, that we can remain in. And so we are to remain. Remain in Christ. Remain in the true vine. At a time when we're aware how little we have, many things that we can't do right now, many things that we would like to do, this passage shows us how we have so much in Jesus. So much in Jesus. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that we are in Jesus, in the true vine. Please help us to remain in him. Help us to see the amazing things that we have now as Jesus offers life in Jesus. Blessings, love, close to Jesus. We thank you for that. Help us to grasp how amazing that is. Amen.